we can look at the minutes from October, but if I understand correctly, there was not a quorum for the
November meeting.
November meeting, and so no action can be taken for the October meeting. We can go over the subdivision. We can give an update on subdivision changes, and I can do director's report and answer any questions that you might have. We probably can take comments from public. No action being taken on that. And so, your question.
Also, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
If the quorum is considered when the meeting is called, right? I mean, if they're walked in.
Once we have four members, you will have a...
I don't know if Daryl... I asked Daryl and Matt both if they're on their way, but I didn't receive anything from either one of them. So.
Yeah, once you actually have somebody walk in the door, and technically they can leave, or one of you can leave, and as long as you make a quorum, you have a quorum that you can continue.
As I said, I just texted both of them. I don't know.
We've heard nothing from anybody saying that they would not be.
Well, with that in mind, we can go ahead and do... As you said, we can do public comment. We can hear about subdivisions.
I just turned the door.
All right, we'll wait 30 seconds then.
We're there in large rat. I heard it too.
So we're all imagining together.
And for public's information, the planning board is made up of seven individuals appointed by the county commissioners. We have had two that have resigned, one for health reasons, one because they no longer live in the county. So we're down to five members. A quorum is four members. We have three planning board members that are here, so without a fourth member, the board cannot take any official action.
All right. With that in mind, we have public out there, and since we're not doing business, if you want to say something, it's normally a 3 to 5 minute time limit, but
you've got an hour.
Wander around if you want to. But keep it as concise as possible. But
you've got an hour.
We ain't sitting here for an hour.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go on.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was curious, knowing that I saw that there were going to be, they advertised for two openings for the planning board. We already had the two openings. I was just curious if they were going to be, do you know anything about them appointing anyone Monday? Or
Monday night, I've been told by the clerk of the board that that is not on the agenda, that there is no appointment of planning board members. The way that appointments are made is that the appointment is good through January. And so as long as we have appointments made prior to the third Wednesday in February, hopefully we'll have it for the fourth. But we do have, and I think to your point, Jackie, there are two members that are, their terms are expiring, have expressed interest in serving again, and their names are included amongst the others that the commissioners have received. Yeah, so really there are four slots that are open right now.
So officially on 1 February, I'm no longer a member of the planning board unless I'm reappointed.
The way that it reads is your appointment is to the end of January. That's
so
correct.
7:59 on 31st of January. I'm a member until then, unless a decision is made.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. You and Chris both are the two in the position. Yeah.
So then the planning board consists of one member.
How's that?
The other two don't show up, so I mean.
February's member.
Hey, actually.
Wow.
You.
All right. Okay. Mike gets to do anything he wants.
Anyway, so
did you know that he's building a hotel?
A hotel?
Anyway, long story.
That'd be a good
one. Yeah,
I Now, that's where I found out about my son's wedding. Anyhow, Dennis, are you done? You done it? All right.
I didn't make out any cards, their name, phone number, and all that to give out. If you'd like to take the information, I'll give it to you. My name's Dennis Stewart. Mark has been out to my place and seen it. I'm going to give you a very brief history. 3 years ago, I approached my neighbor who owns a little over 600 feet of land that I cross, which is my easement to my property, my home. And over a three-year span, maybe a little longer than that, I tried every way I could think of to try to do some upgrades to that section of road. Went through the county here, the water, state water people. You got four of them. Went through the Corps of Engineers, yada, 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 spent thousands of dollars getting proposals done, maintenance agreements, the whole nine yards. That's a very brief history for it here. The road is a single lane road there. I have 16 acres with a fairly large home on it. There's actually two houses on that road now. There was a third house that I tore down. It was an old house that I also owned. So right now there's two houses that use that road. What I need is for you as a group or come one at a time, whatever, to come out and look at it for yourselves so you've got a good idea of what I'm dealing with. Now, from my property line all the way out to its end, there's no problem with road width or anything like that. In other words, it's just raw land except for where my house is at. It's not really agricultural land. It's hilly and some of it's steep. I've used a few acres of that 16 acres for horse pasture. That's because it's in timber. I am retired. I'll be 66 next month, and I need to divest a part or all of that property. And I need to know if I could get a variance for that 600 and a little over 600 feet. And, you know, 16 acres is several beautiful home places. I'm not a contractor. I'm not a developer. I'm just a landowner. Now, if I could subdivide the land and know where a main road needs to go, and if there's people that want to buy a house place from that main road, they would, depending on where they wanted to build a house, they would be responsible for doing their own driveway. So, that's where I'm at. My address is 251 Kettle Creek Lane, K-E-T-T-L-E, Kettle Creek Lane, Bavard. It's right off of Hannaford Road between Green Road, I call that bridge, it's a French Road River, Green Road Bridge. I live between that and Wallet Hall Road. The road is has a sign that says Kettle Creek Lane. I'm the last house on that lane. Big brick house up on the hill. If I could get you to come out and look at it, visual is worth 1,000 words. And just, you know, we'll go from there. Just, I just want somebody, you know, just get as a group, look at it, assess it, and because there's several options, I just need to know what I can do.
Do you have either an email or a phone number we can get a hold of?
553-46-64.
All right.
Barbara's number is 553-97-39.
All right.
Mr. Stewart, how do we spell your last name?
S-T-E. We're the educated Scots.
S-E-W.
Yeah. I got it.
So does.
And is Kettle Creek one word, two?
No.
Two words.
Now, lunch comes with this if we come out there.
Huh?
Lunch comes with this if we come out
there. Yeah, I would suggest not. I've been marked. I think we had sandwiches.
I don't think so.
No?
No, it did not.
Well, a couple of people that I've had out there, we sit down and had
that lunch.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
No, we did not have lunch.
Mr. Stewart, is it your intent then to improve Kettle Creek Road to bring it up to standard for a subdivision?
Well, the 600, a little over 600 feet, no. The Corps of Engineers, they own every stream in these United States. Mm-hmm. And I went as far as to try and buy an easement, a road right-of-way on the opposite side of the creek. The man that owns that land is adamant about not selling me 1 foot of land. I've tried every avenue to improve that 600 feet of road.
Do you have a drawing or a plat of what you want to do?
No. To do all the surveying and all like that would be frugal effort unless I could get a variance of some kind for that 600 feet.
What is the current right of way?
It's on just a, right. Well, from my property line to Hannah Ford Road, it's an easement. It's not defined. There's no definition. It doesn't specify. I think it says
errors and assigns.
Errors
and assigns, just an easement back to him.
Regress and regress. Mm-hmm. There's no footage. It's just as is. And I have, for 3 years, I've exhausted every avenue and spent thousands of dollars. And,
well, one of the things that and I have been out to the property, this. There are three parcels, three existing parcels that are served by this road. The two houses and the balance of your property, because your house is its own parcel. The neighbor's house,
mm-hmm.
Your house, a separate parcel, and then the balance of the property.
Yeah, my house is on
separate.
Separate.
It is a private driveway. And we have talked about this. The subdivision ordinance comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what Chris is getting to is that you need to come in and really talk to Joy first and say, here's what I'd like to do with just the schematic, back of a piece of paper. You could even do a tax map, blow up with a tax map, showing the existing lots and where you want to put, where you think you might want to put lots.
Well, an option, it's not going to be a high-impact housing. I'm not looking to put 15 houses,
sure,
you know, or divide it up. But I would like to be able to drive at the most have 5 parcels, not counting my house.
So you already have 2. You're saying you want 3 more?
I don't have to. I just have my one. I have my house print,
right,
which is a fraction over an acre. And then the rest of it is...
That's 2 parcels. That's 2 parcels in your ownership.
But they're all connected. That's what I'm getting.
I understand. They are connected. But they are... What Joy is going to look at when she talks to somebody that wants to develop land is how many parcels are already on a road.
Okay, there's one. There's an existing house place with a garage, septic, well, that's the old footprint of the house that I tore in. I own that.
Right.
So, then the lawn, I even mowed the lawn. The lawn's still there.
Right.
So, but there's nothing there but 2 baby rocks.
I think the key piece here is you need to come in and talk to Joy and say, this is what I'd like to do with this. It does not require a surveyor to do that. It requires you saying, here's what we would like to do, and then does the ordinance allow for it? There is a provision in the subdivision ordinance, I think we've covered this, that does allow for variances, but it has to meet certain requirements. If we cannot approve that as staff, then the planning board can. They can at least consider it, and they can approve a variance. But if a variance beyond a certain type, we can't do anything. That would be planning board. At this point, though, you need to bring it to Joy and talk to her.
Okay, then she is...
The county planner.
County planner.
I didn't know we had a county.
Well, that's really... Kaylin, Joy, and I work together.
Okay, I'm fairly familiar. I live just down the other fort at Green Road. You've got some pretty steep slopes up in that area. Now, are you, up on the hog back, or are you more than
the... I'm in a cove. I'm in a cove. There's a cove. There's a stream. The stream that borders the 600 feet goes through my property. On
the 16 acres is basically old farmland, or is it the forest, or is it...
Well, it's... most of it's in timber. I had it logged 10 years ago. It's got some timber on it.
It's a cove that would be... The cove itself proper is a meadow. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes up into a bowl.
I know what a cove is.
Well, what I'm trying to do is describe how much of it, of that 16 acres,
yeah,
probably about 2 to 3 acres would be open and going up. There is a barn in the back there, maybe a little bit more than 3 acres, but not much.
Mm-hmm. It's probably more than 3.
Yeah.
So, again, 4 acres maybe. But well, in the meantime, while I'm talking to you, I'd love for all of you to come out by SAS this weekend. It made a lot to me, that way everybody knows what the situation is. That's it. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
We got you.
Thank you. Sure, okay.
She's got, we've got a telephone number.
Hmm? Are you in your office here too?
Second floor. Our office is on the second floor. Joy's not in tomorrow. You can always call our office.
I can talk to you about it, but you'll have to come in and we'll need to look at a piece of paper and you have to identify what you want to do.
Okay.
So,
what we just want to say about
it. Now, you have to shift how?
Well, large lots. Large lots. I mean, I don't want to survey that word, but
don't need a survey. Don't need a survey, but you've got to be able to show on a piece of paper what you'd like to do.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Y'all stay, man. It's pretty much this exciting all the time. Anyway, Sandy, you got anything? All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank y'all. See you. Now that we've got a quorum, we can go back. Next thing is approval of agenda.
We will need a motion to add to tonight's agenda to include approving the October 20th, 2016 minutes, as well as the November 17th, 2016 minutes.
Okay. Everybody understand that? We didn't have a quorum, so we couldn't actually approve the October minutes. So we need to go back and do that. So we need a motion to do that.
I move that we approve the October and November minutes as submitted.
Second. And the only change, Kaylin, you said you had the wrong location. I wanted to change that.
The November 17 minutes that you were emailed said that the meeting was in the Board of Commissioners chambers when we actually had it here.
Other than that, there are no
other secret meetings.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
So
all right.
Our first motion is to approve tonight's agenda with the addition of approving the second set of minutes.
All right. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
So our first motion made by Maureen was to modify tonight's agenda to include approving both sets of minutes.
Okay. So with that modification, we can approve the agenda.
We need a second motion. Of the motion.
Second. There you go. Now, any discussion? All right, with the suggested change, all in favor of approval of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, now, we can approve the
minutes. Just as a matter of information, is there a motion made by somebody and seconded for the approval of the minutes?
No.
Maureen Kopeloff made a motion to change tonight's agenda to modify it to include approving both October and November minutes. And the motion was seconded by Matt McNeely and carried unanimously. And now we'll need a motion to approve the minutes.
That's
if
right.
There is no discussion,
right.
We'll need a motion
that's
to approve the minutes of the October 20th meeting.
That was my fault, Mark. I got us messed up. They haven't fixed it, of course.
Well, I now move that we approve the October and the November minutes as submitted with the one change that we just went for the one condition.
Here.
Thank you. One second.
Thank you, Matt.
We have a motion and a second to approve October and November's agendas with the one change of location on the November, I'm sorry, minutes. With the one change of location on the November minutes. And we have, so is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes with the accepted change for the November, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that, guys. That was completely my fault for getting us off kilter. Subdivision updates and approvals.
The handout that you have for the subdivision approvals and exemptions is double-sided. Between November 18th and January 18th, we had 4 one-lot subdivisions approved by our office and 23 exceptions. 4 were family subdivisions, 2 were inheritance, 8 were recombination, where people were recombining previously approved lots, and 9 were changing boundary lines between property owners.
All right. Thank you. Anybody have any questions concerning the subdivisions and exemptions?
You'll notice that there was one that is a one lot subdivision and an exception. They wanted to show both on the same plat, and they had the appropriate language for both, and they showed it clearly.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
Not on this, but as a follow-up to Mr. Stewart's comments. Do
you want to do that now, or when you...
Yeah, I would. Okay. Just, I've actually been out to that property and have talked to him. He was directed to our office from Soil and Water with concerns about him wanting to develop it. He came up, we talked. I've been out to the property. There are three existing parcels that are off of that lane already. I'm not quite sure. I was not able to communicate or understand what his... There is his neighbor to the north. There is his home site that is up on a knoll. And then there's the balance of his property. So there are already three parcels. When I have talked to him, I've said that the subdivision ordinance is something that would have to be looked at, that he would need to have to come in here and work through that. He has children. There is the option of a family subdivision where you're giving a parcel to a child. And so he could subdivide that if he wanted. So there are different things that he could do. The challenge that Mr. Stewart and his wife have is they have an extremely narrow access from Hannaford Road, that 600 feet that he's talking about. You can get a vehicle in. In fact, you're looking at it right now. It's got a creek. As you're coming onto his property, the creek would be on your right. And there's a very steep, not cliff, but bluff that is on the other side. So you're between a creek and a hard place. And so he's going to have to, if he wants to further subdivide, and one of the exceptions does not meet, then he needs to look at and say, how do I do this? Because it's 16 acres, he's not going to get parcels that are greater than 10 acres. And then, in full disclosure, the comment about the sandwich was not accurate. He did not offer a sandwich. But we did, Betsy and I did look at that piece of property as something that we were interested in. We were told, he said, come out and take a look at it. And we did. And we've done nothing with that. So just have that out there.
But you didn't get a sandwich.
I did not get a sandwich. Mm.
So what you're saying is that if he provides us into six lots, six individual lots, is what I understand.
He needs to have six children.
All right. Now, are there any restrictions on the resale once he deeds that over?
That's a problem with our ordinance. Once you subdivide and you meet one of the nine exemptions, you meet an exemption. It's subdivided. It doesn't. There's nothing that says that you can't. Well, do it this way. Say that Betsy and I have a piece of property, we've got two kids, you can create two new lots and one resulting, the one that you get to keep. We give them to the kids. John gets one, Brooke gets one. They get married, they get divorced, the other person gets the property. It's now no longer a family subdivision. Any number of things could happen, including just the outright sale of that property.
Yeah, it could be just a sham subdivision.
It could be. Yeah. Not that I'm saying that it is, but that is a prohibition. When you see 1.6 on here, that is oftentimes, most of the time, I think it's genuine that people have a piece of property they want to give a child. We don't question that. Not always, though. We do know that there are times when somebody will come in and say, I'm giving it to a child. And we'll actually have them state on a piece of paper that this is for a child. But in a year or 2 years, somebody else may be owning that piece of paper. That is a flaw in the subdivision ordinance.
Is that, then we get into fire EMS access.
That's the whole purpose of the subdivision ordinance. Exactly.
So if you have one child, can you leave them a lot?
You can do a lot to each child and then have one lot for yourself.
So if you have one child, can you deed them a lot? They sell it, then can you deed them another lot?
We don't keep track of that, Mac. We've never kept track of that.
So yes.
Actually, it doesn't have to be a child that states.
Yep.
Somebody that you would give property to.
If you died intestate.
So it's been nieces and nephews and
brothers.
Grandkids.
So what he's asking for is a fairly large departure from the subdivision regulations.
He needs to come in and on a piece of paper sketch out what he wants to do, allow Joy to have the opportunity to say, here's the concern. You do this, these are different options that you have, but the concern is the access, and he knows the access is a concern. So. Anything else? That's all I have on that. I wanted to have a little bit more on that one. So.
Okay. Anybody have any more questions or comments concerning the subdivision approvals and updates? All right, old business. 2025 comprehensive plan draft.
Update. Monday evening, the county commissioners will be receiving a PowerPoint presentation. It's really not even that. It's just going over the focus areas 3 and 4. We are not reading the objectives. We're just going through a slide at a time, asking commissioners if they have questions, comments, to go to the next slide. So we'll be giving that update on Monday. They have already gone over focus areas 1 and 2. Commissioner Hawkins was really the only individual that had comments during that meeting. You can see his comments, listen to his comments online, so you have a better understanding. He also sent an email that I forwarded to you with concerns about focus areas 1 and 2. We will have probably more information on focus areas 3 and 4 and what he thinks needs to be looked at after Monday evening. There has not been a time scheduled to have a public hearing for public, and I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go at this point. So we are just updating with what we know at this time.
But the process is for the commissioners to take action on it, either approve it or bring it back to us for revisions, and then.
The process would be, Mac, that you had adopted the draft, and it was a unanimous adoption by you as a board. They, as the elected body, get to review, do whatever they want with it. They could ask staff to go back and amend things and bring it back to them. But prior to, I would hope that prior to either adopting or saying do something else with it, they would hold a public hearing before taking a final action. But yeah, that's up to them. That's their prerogative.
Commissioner Hawkins implied that last commissioner's meeting, when they reviewed the first portion of it, that he had a rewrite that he was going to send to you to clean up the language. Did you ever receive that?
We have his suggested comments for focus areas 1 and 2, and I shared those with you. We've also received comments on focus area 3.
You said he was going to rewrite sections of it.
We have not received anything, nor do I have any expectation of him to rewrite.
He made some suggested rewriting of some of the strategies in what he sent us for focus areas 1 and 2.
And
so
I
you have
those
suggestions.
Hey, Mike, there's water in here.
Is it?
Yeah, right there.
So there were at least 3 that he rewrote with language.
Yeah,
So that he provided potential rewrites for.
I know Maureen and Chris were at that meeting. Caitlin Joy and I were there. I think it was pretty much Mike was really the only commissioner that had comments that evening. Have either of you had a chance to look at the... So we're just... Staff is waiting for instruction from commissioners and managers how to proceed on that. And so it is their document to do with as they want at this point.
I have a question. I didn't see that in the agenda. Have they modified the...
It should be presentations.
Let me see. Let me make sure that...
It's under presentations for Monday evening.
Okay. All right.
And it was on the agenda that they canceled because of weather, or what they thought was going to be inclement weather. It should be the only thing under presentations.
Ah, I see it. Right there it says comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
Okay, that must be it. All right.
That's all we've got on as an update right now. Well, there is... Joey Taylor and I, are debating whether or not to submit the draft plan to the North Carolina Association of Planners for Marvin Collins Small Jurisdiction Planning Award. It has not been adopted, and so it wouldn't be eligible. However, I wrote and said, we hope that it will be adopted within the next month. And they said, go ahead and submit if you want to. And so we're looking at that. And I think that we still have yet to make a decision if we can submit that. That's low on our priority list. Anything else? If you can, I would encourage you to be there Monday night. Just to, you know what's in the plan, you know how it's presented. It would really be more to just see how the commissioners respond to it, what their direction is. All right, that's all I've got, sir.
All right, sign ordinance.
That in November, I handed out a version and we discussed some of the issues that were there, and you guys had some concerns. You had concerns about if we removed the exception under directional signs for yard sales and real estate signs, how would yard sale and real estate signs be permitted? I reviewed guidance from several sources, including a lawyers association, and there, under temporary signs, there is an addition under temporary signs for real estate signs on page 6 of what I just handed out. Section 7.6 is one option for real estate signs. In that same section of temporary portable sign regulations, on-premise temporary portable signs shall be allowed for a maximum of 14 consecutive calendar days and may be displayed once at a six-month period intervals. That's what it says currently in the current version. after discussion with Mark earlier today, the one change that was made was to make that 30 days so that the time period for all signs is 30 days. However, if you think about temporary portable signs, the yard sale signs are temporary and they can be moved. And so they could be covered under that section of the on-premise temporary portable signs. Potentially. The other concern that you guys brought up at the last meeting was the scenic byways. You wanted to know where they were located in the county, and you wanted to know what the NCDOT rules for advertising were along the scenic byways, and you should have found that in your agenda packets. There are three scenic byways, but one of the scenic byways, the Forest Heritage Scenic Byway, covers two different roads, 215 and 276. The regulations for signs on scenic byways is very similar to the regulations for signs on the scenic corridors that are the locally designated by the scenic corridor ordinance, which is why on the map that was created, it has both the scenic corridors and the scenic byways. With NCDOT about the rules and opportunities for businesses businesses advertising along the scenic byway when they did not have property that abutted the scenic byway. And there is an option to go through the district office in Silva, and if it's food, lodging, or an attraction. They have a program that's the TODS program, Tourism Opportunity Destination Signs, and they can get a specific sign from NCDOT for certain businesses, but they have to qualify and they have to pay a yearly fee to do that.
Back, maybe not because of the time of day, on the directional signs inside.
Sherry has provided us with the NC State Building Code for signs, and the first thing it says is permits, drawings, and specifications. Under that section it says where a permit is required as provided in Chapter 1. And so I will have to go back and get Chapter 1 to determine where permits are required. There was a question brought up for the directional signs, which is in that exempt category in the current sign ordinance, if they have to get a permit from the building department to place a directional sign, is it really exempt? Or we want to make sure that it meets all the rules for the building code, and that it does not confuse people. So we are still investigating the directional signs. There is a question of whether we want to include personal expression signs or leave those off. That the personal expression signs are not required, and they are adding something to the ordinance that is not there currently. It is just another way for people to express themselves.
And that it could be a campaign sign.
It could be.
It could be a preference to supporting a certain organization or not. So it's a preference sign, right?
It could be a children at play sign.
Keep move away. Mm-hmm. That was a sign in my old neighborhood.
I prefer immediately stored and rental.
There you go.
I said I prefer McNeely stored and rental. My preference.
Yeah.
That's a 16.
Clemson. You can put a Clemson sign out.
But if you,
has an ordinance like, has a provision in an ordinance like that been tested anywhere? Because it seems to me like you're running up on First Amendment issues.
Well, and that's why we're having to review the ordinance currently. But the personal expression does not say which expressions can and can't be talked about.
We're not limiting.
Anything could be a personal expression sign.
It's more of, needs to be, if you put one up, that's fine, but it can't be in the right way, and it has sign limitations, and so that's what we're trying to do on that. So just because we cannot limit what that sign is.
That was, no. I want to make sure.
No,
because I think that was the whole part.
But we may want to just scratch that whole section.
And we internally, we've had that discussion. Do we even want to hunt that dog? I have looked at this in the past when we created the ordinance and when we reviewed it in the past, and we've just said we really aren't interested in dealing with signs that are less than 32 square feet that are directional, or somebody has political signs. I don't want to deal with them. I personally, now you as a board may want to recommend to the commissioners otherwise, I personally don't want to have to deal with political signs. Where we have had some real interest are those little stupid temporary signs for internet service. You know which ones I'm talking about? What is the name of the company?
HughesNet.
We have one person that he's been in and has called so many times, I've just looked and said, look, I will deputize you to be the removal of those signs. I can't do that, but I'm just trying to get him out of the door because they take time, energy, and is it worth it? For him, it's worth it, but is it for the county?
The question I have on this personal expression, by it being absent, is then it any sign open to interpretation? I mean, would they have to apply for a permit to put up Hey Jesus sign?
That's where we get into the sign size issue and what's required by building code. And I don't know what that answer is, because if building code may say that if something is X square feet, you have to get a permit. We have to have drawings. We need to know what the footer looks like so that it doesn't become a hazard. So that's a question that we posed to the inspections.
I just got this, so the revision. What about the removal of derelict signs?
It's still in there.
Under maintenance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that hasn't changed yet.
And we are not enforcing
it. It is a low priority. Is there one that we need to look at? Would be somebody needs to make us aware of it, we would go out and look at it. But it's not to say that it's not.
There's one on this store for Sapphire. Kind of looks terrible.
I thought that was a preference sign. I'm sorry, I missed that. There are a couple of signs. I think that there's one sign as you come into Brevard from Rosman on the right near the Bear Arms. I think there's a sign that is literally just kind of falling in. We should take action on that.
Well, see, as long as it's standing, they can repair and redo it.
And one thing, I think Mike knows this, staff knows it. When we adopted this ordinance originally, Harry Ashworth, then chairman of the planning board, Harry and I drove all the major roads with a video camera. I drove, and Harry video recorded the entire county. And so we can go back to the mid-1990s, and you can see what the county actually looked like. We wanted to be able to say, well, that sign was or was not there. So we have that.
Because how can you run your VHS?
Well, we need to get that digitized. So right now, I think my recommendation on this is Joy has taken the concerns that were expressed at the November meeting. She has tried to address those by reaching out to the different organizations, DOT particularly. Until there is a full board, I don't think that it's ready. I'm not ready to make a recommendation to make any type of modification that would go to the commissioners. I would say that this just needs to go on hold until the next meeting, and then the full planning board at that point in time needs to discuss and give direction.
That's good sound advice.
It also allows you more time to review it and consider and think about it.
Can I ask you a question? Outside of this ordinance, you said that 32 square feet is a sign 32 square feet would be covered under. Outside of this ordinance, is there anything that regulates a sign smaller than 32 square feet?
We don't know. That's why we have asked the building inspection department. That is what Joy was just saying. She's got to go back to what, chapter one?
Chapter one.
Chapter one to find out if it is. 32 square feet was a directional sign that the group, the planning board, when they first adopted it, said most everybody knows what a sheet of plywood looks like.
Right.
That was just kind of rule of thumb. If it looks like a sheet of plywood or less, it can be a directional sign and we're not going to worry about it. If it's bigger than a sheet of plywood, then they need to get a permit to this. Joy is looking to see if building permit actually requires something for something less than 32 square feet. 4x8. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Answers my question.
So we've got a split jurisdiction here between you guys and the building department, or who does the enforcement?
It's supposed to, the enforcement officer is the building department.
Okay.
Or their designated person. And they pretty much designated us.
Well, management has designated us. They downsized, and with the change of going from planning and economic development to planning community management, said, we would like you to take this. They've got fewer people. They're doing more work. We'd like you to take this. So the ordinance still has the building permits, but we are de facto responsible for it.
They do still issue the permits.
The building
permits for permanent signs.
And who does the qualification on the permit? You guys review and say this fits the ordinance, this fits the state statutes,
yeah,
building department, go ahead and issue the permit.
Cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
And if you're on the scenic byway, you also have to have a state permit.
That's correct. Also, if you're even allowed. Now, we had a situation where Toxaway is building a country club. And I had Scott McCall call me and just said, Mark, can we put a construction, like direction sign for contractors? And I said, as long as it's not in the right of way and it's not in the site visibility, I just do it. I mean, that's not violating the intent of this ordinance. That is trying to help business for a very short period of time. So, that was a judgment call on that. And so I think I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure they've got it out of the right of way.
I haven't noticed one of you.
No, it must be out of the way. If I did, I haven't noticed it.
That's all we've got on that one, sir. We'll bring it back when we have a full group and take any direction that you'd like to go from there. I think for everybody, including Maureen and Chris, and not knowing if you stay on or not on the board, if you can go back and provide us feedback, that would be helpful. As we look at keeping ordinances evergreen, what is the intent? What are we trying to accomplish? And then what's the easiest way to do that effectively? And that's where I think the main goal should be. What are we trying to do? Is it really the function of government? And if it is, what's the best way to do it that is effective and fair to all?
Can I ask one more question about this, please? Other than this, or other than scenic byways, I mean scenic highways, does the state have any regulation or sign ordinance, so to speak, at a larger level?
In 2011, general statutes was passed regarding campaign signs.
Okay.
And they are very similar to the temporary signs that are exempt associated with an event.
Right.
They're allowed for 30 days prior to the early voting period and 10 days after the election. It was interesting to read that as long as they meet those requirements, they're allowed in the right-of-way.
Well, they are
allowed. They are allowed, but those are only campaign signs.
And are they? Do they specify the size?
They do.
Okay, yeah.
They specify the size.
There are some campaign signs that are can be fairly large.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I think in general, a couple of things we should probably keep in mind is, you know, we have a county ordinance, we have a state ordinance in the scenic byways, which is a big part of our major highways. And then you have like this campaign ordinance, you have inspections department requirements. We should be sure that all of those requirements line up as much as possible so that we don't have a situation where a sign fits two of the requirements but not the third or you know. And I talked to a guy the other day who had put up a sign. This one was in the city of Brevard, but he said it took six actual site inspections to get the sign put up. The DOT had to come look, be sure that it certified that it wasn't on the right way. Then somebody from the city came out to be sure that it met the setbacks and wasn't on the right way. And then they came back, the county had to do a footer inspection where they dug the holes with a post hole digger to see that they were the correct diameter and depth before he poured the concrete in. And, I mean, it just went on and on and on. And, you know, by the time you get two or three permits, six inspections, I mean, it's...
What is the purpose and how do we do it most effectively that we can? Please don't put us in the same category as that other entity.
Well, I mean, well, it's not just them. It's just the fact that there's so many people involved. And
they're great.
And because 64 is a national highway that receives funding from the federal government, there are requirements or setbacks and sign permits from NCBOZ. So that does complicate things.
But you know, as a business person, if you want to put up a sign, it shouldn't take 3 weeks, 6 trips around the community.
$1,000
approved.
Well, I'm not saying that this is the case in this case you're citing, but this gentleman that was here tonight asking for our review of something with no information. Yeah, it's going to take several trips.
Well, this wasn't, I mean, this is after he got the permits. There were 6 site visits to put up a sign. And that just seems a little ridiculous. A little ridiculous. And another comment I would have is anything that people running for office are able to do, the citizenry should be able to do. I mean, that, if it's okay to put up a political sign, then it should be able to be okay to put up the same, exact same sign for the same requirements for your coffee shop.
Staff would disagree with that. One is trying to promote an election process and something that is inherent with the Constitution and our right as citizens. The other is a private enterprise and supporting that business. I think they're two very different things.
And especially if it's on that business's property.
If it's on, but if it's on their property, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. That's an on-premise sign.
I mean, if elected officials had to make 6 trips out to get their sign inspected, we'd have a different process.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have near as many. But I think that there's two very different things here. To compare them, it's not, I don't think it's apples to apples. That's just me.
But you see what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's apples to apples.
Okay, moving on.
All right. Director's report, I think.
Any final comments, questions, concerns? All right. Let's move along to the director's report.
Essentially, is director's report.
Okay.
So, several things to make you aware of. We have met now with a company that is probably within the next month, if not next 2 months, bringing a cell tower to you for consideration. The tower is not going to be a very large tower, and it's not going to be on a ridge. It's actually going to be pretty much into the alley, and it will be off of 276. And so it's not going to be one of those. I mean, remember, we have a lot of concern and interest about where Dunn's Rock is. It's not up there. It's down lower off of 276 and essentially the intersection of Barclay, that piece of property right there. The company that they are contracting for, and they're looking for a way of providing a signal path, and they don't have to be up high, nor do they have to have a large range. And so I would imagine that within the next 2 meetings that we will have that permit come to you. I think the maximum height right now is 140, 145.
And they may modify it depending on how wide the piece of property is.
Piece of property is, so they're working on that.
I assume that they have received a copy of the ordinance.
They have, and they've also met the requirement of what would be a pre-conference meeting where they read the ordinance and said, we'd like to come in and talk to you about what we're doing so that we know what to do. So they have done that. Actually, the individual is out of Tennessee, and he has been extremely diligent in his work. He even met with us early on saying, do you know of places that we could do this? And was pretty forthcoming in what they're trying to accomplish. Sometimes we have some people come in a little bit squirrely about what they want to do, and generally it's going to be up here, we need it to be up high, and we don't want people to know about it until after we've done it. That doesn't work. The next TNRC meeting is February 10th, and they will have a presenter that will be talking about landslides and mapping efforts of landslide areas in Transylvania County. We'll send out a notice on that. But if you're interested, you might want to put that on your calendar. It's at 9 a.m. on February 10th. We have been working on
a third ARC grant this fiscal year. We had one grant for the Alliance and the business plan competition that we helped with. We had one grant for free Wi-Fi in Austin. And we have submitted a grant for wayfinding. And ARC has told us that we may make a full application, which typically if ARC goes to the point of saying you can apply for a full application, unless there's something that we're not aware of, we will likely get that grant. But that would be working with the Tourism Development Authority and the county to put up signs to help people, much like the city of Brevard has done with signage. We would have that in some of the other areas outside the city and county lines, significant points of interest in the county. Yesterday, Joy and I met with Steve Cannon with NCDOT, District Engineer, just talking about a number of different projects that are taking place and trying to continue, as Mike has observed, build that relationship with NCDOT. Wilson Road continues to move forward. There's been activity on Park Neely that we've seen. One of the things that we talked about was breaking up future projects so that they might score better. An example of that would be the 178. And so rather than have it being scored on the entire length from Main Street to South Carolina, is break it up and go from Main Street to Middle Fork. And then Middle Fork to, and I'm using, making up examples, Red Line Inn, and then hit the state line. They have, NCDOT and the RPO that is out of Lands of Sky Regional Council have found that they've had better success rate and getting projects approved because they score better when you break them up. Another example of that would also be the West Loop, where there may be an effort to help improve that by looking and saying, let's break it up into three sections and focus first on the area between McLean and West Probart or West Main Street. And then after that's done, come back and say, okay, how do we connect it back from McLean back to 64 or from West Probart back to 64? See that. Joy, Caitlin, is there anything else? We did get notice the Brownfield grant that we submitted for $300,000 has been received and will be reviewed. My expectation is we would get some type of response back. I got an email yesterday from the US EPA saying, acknowledging once again that they have received it. We won't have any definitive notice on that probably until June. But that's for evaluating properties and trying to determine whether there are real or perceived issues of environmental hazards on that. So that was something that we looked for.
Is this site specific or is it just general?
In the grant itself, we identified properties that, based on historical use, could have environmental issues. Could. And it's very clear in the proposal that we're not saying that they do, it's just based on historical use. There is a high likelihood, and part of the process if we were to get the grant would be then to do a phase one environmental audit on that parcel. So we have identified parcels of land so that EPA knows that there are specific areas that we're interested in, primarily pieces that would be of benefit to economic development or affordable housing because of location to highways or in the corridors that we've looked at. So there are specific, but they are just based on historical use.
Okay, it's not locked to given properties.
No, sir. Yes, sir. This time, this round, they did ask, though, if when we identify some of the properties, if we could identify those properties that the owner would allow access on. And we were able to do that with a couple of properties. Owner has said, yes, we definitely have access to the property to do this work. EPA wanted to know that it's not just getting, you're not just getting money to go study something.
Those are outside of the city.
They are outside and inside.
Okay.
And also inside Roslyn.
Okay.
So we tried to look at a broad area. Caitlin, anything else that we're... Well, there is something else. Caitlin's really been working hard on... It's the follow-up to the work that we've done on calling it Project Empathy, but on community centers. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Next Thursday, the 26th, we're going to have opportunity for the community centers to network with one another. They work closely over the sesquicentennial, and some of them would like to get back together and share some ideas, learn from each other's successes, express their greatest challenges, which is mostly the next generation being engaged in volunteering. And they're going to talk about programs that they don't have that they would like, or people or activities they want to serve. And 10 of our community centers are very interested and excited and will be there. And we also have 7 organizations that want to reach out further into the community, physically reach out further. And they're going to have a few minutes to talk about their vision for reaching out further into the community. And that's 4-H and the Family Place, the CARE Coalition for Substance Abuse Prevention. The library is very enthusiastic. Transylvania County Schools, I haven't gotten to touch base with Mark, but they're interested. They won't be able to be there that day. So I think a lot of them have already expressed an interest in serving youth and young children. So we're going to see how we can partner up and give them an opportunity to network and share with one another. And express what they want to be and what direction they want to go in. And we'll see in what ways we may or may not be able to support them.
This ties into the budget process for the county. To see if there's a strategy and a focus area that we can actually take to the county commissioners and say this is something that would benefit community centers and with a recommendation. It's also a follow-up to the work that I've said that we've done looking at disadvantaged youth in the county and trying to figure out how do we work with some of these kids. And on that, we actually have a teleconference call with a grantor looking at helping with funding of youth programs in February. We've been busy. These two have been busy. So. Any questions? Thoughts? That's all I have, sir. I think that's all we have.
All right. Public comment, where am I? All right, public comments. Are there any additional public comments?
The cell tower or the cell tower thing that you're talking about, does that just facilitate a business, or would that facilitate some of those people that can't get cell service out there?
Our understanding is that we'll open up communications in that whole area for a company, but it also expands, because if you've got a tower, others can ping off of that as well. So,
I'm curious if it was going to...
It's not going to make privacy.
Huh?
It won't. It's not going to get privacy.
But there are a lot of blank areas around it.
Yeah. Honestly, the best thing that could happen there is somebody put a communication tower on top of the water tower that they have up there. And their ordinance, they have bylaws that prohibit that.
Live with it.
Hmm?
Live with it or change it.
It's kind of where...
Exactly. Don't come here and wait.
Same with you.
Okay. It's interesting about the cell tower. We talked about that years ago. Is this the first one going in since it was an issue with the commissioners?
That is correct. And in our discussion with this individual, we have said we know that there are other areas of the county that need towers, and we're trying to generate interest. I mean, it's a yin and yang. We've got people that do not have cell coverage. We've got people that don't want to have a tower. And sometimes it's the same person, and they're really conflicted. And not in my backyard.
You said that's right at 276 in Barclay.
It is very close to that intersection on the what would be the Ridge Mountain going up that.
Yeah, it's got a nice field of view from there.
Yeah, it's got a good field. Behind there's a maintenance garage shop back there. It's on the back side of that. I don't. It's going to be a monopole, so I don't think it's going to be extremely obtrusive. And again, it's not high up. It's not on the ridge, and so we don't have to deal with that. We don't have to deal with Perry. I'm sure that when we have formally bring it to you, and we notice it in the paper, I'm certain that we will have people show up and want to know more about it, but we will have maps available in advance. We'll be able to explain to people what will be there.
All right. Maureen, any comments?
I'm very excited to hear about the community center project. That is so great. That, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful initiative. And I'll be there Monday night because I really, really hope our comprehensive plan moves forward. It's been, when did we submit it? October?
I think it was September.
September.
It's been a number of months. The biggest concern people had was that, you know, we put all this effort in and nothing was coming out of it, no actions. And we're now at 4 or 5 months since we submitted it. So, you know, time's moving on. So I'm hoping that Monday is a very productive time and the commissioners can make a decision and, you know, or hold their public hearing, whatever. But definitely, it's good to see that it's on the agenda and we'll get that last section, you know, presented, you know, and commented on by the commissioners. So I don't know if this is my last meeting or not, but it has been an honor to serve on the planning board, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate and have enjoyed working with everybody. And I think we've done a lot in the last 3 years that I've served. So that's it.
I've probably already said enough, but I too would like to see some finality on the comprehensive plan. I mean, we're basically starting 2 years into a 10-year plan. And sure, we don't have to repeat it.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Maureen and Chris met with Mike Hawkins. I think you should talk to commissioners and express your view of, you know, let public have a say on it, adopt or give it back to us, or have staff do something. But I would encourage you to reach out to county commissioners.
Anything else? Great.
Oh, skip you.
I'll come back.
Oh, I wasn't prepared to be out of work. No, I'm usually out of work. Never mind. No, I have to agree with Maureen. It's been a very interesting 3 years. We accomplished some things, not as many as we wanted to, and not by our own failing, but, you know, we did what we were asked, and then we were severely admonished for doing so. And that's not the way you build community participation. Other than that, you know, the comprehensive plan, the tower ordinance, and a few other things that we've accomplished, I'm glad that we were able to. We'll see what happens whenever they get around to this, and we'll go from there.
All right, I've taken, Mac, in regard to what you said, excuse me, in regard to what you said, I've taken the opportunity to talk to county commissioners. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. I've talked to them one-on-one. I've sent them emails. And I don't see any reason why we can't speak during public comment. I don't know that there's any issue with that because I'm speaking as Mike, the citizen, not Mike, the planning board member, and encourage movement. I agree with what Chris said, or somebody said, we're 2 years into a 10-year plan, you know, which is not what we worked diligently to get the plan to the table, and now it's sitting on the table, and I'm as frustrated as everybody else in the room. And so with that regard, if you get an opportunity to speak to a commissioner, email a commissioner, call a commissioner, I'd encourage you to do it. I've done it. So, in regard to Monday night, I'd also encourage you to be there and speak out, because I don't know what the roadblock is, but I hope we can find a way around it and get this thing passed. That's all I have to say. I would consider a motion to adjourn.
Hearing none, we will see you the rest
of the evening. We got a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Got a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting dismissed.
Adjourned.
Mike, Matt, thank you. Maureen, thank you. I've got something.
One of them was already signed.
Yeah, because we talked.
Somebody.
That's scary.
Wow.
Where are you in the world?
This position.
After you're done with him, we'll talk to you.
It has something to do with a mutual friend. I'm, you know, curious how that he would respond. Good. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Slow down. Nice to start all over.
Been a while.
Try to get down there Monday night. It's already in the agenda. Try to get down there and meet up with that other
team. I'm not going to stay for the full thing.
Okay. Yeah, you guys stuff on the agenda.
Yeah. What I've been working on.